A Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, does modern journalism feel kind of broken to you? Does finding just one single authoritative source for anything feel, well, almost impossible sometimes?
Yeah, it's a common feeling.
Today, we're looking at a framework built by media critic Jeff Jarvis. And it suggests that the answers to our current digital chaos, they might actually lie about 500 years in the past.
We're diving into his book, The Gutenberg Parenthesis, The Age of Print and Its Lessons for the Age of the Internet. And the core idea is, well, it's right there in the title.
Right.
Jarvis argues that the era defined by the printing press, roughly 500 years from Gutenberg up to the internet, wasn't the natural state of human communication. It was more like a temporary phase.
A parenthesis.
A historical anomaly. That's fascinating. So for thousands of years before Gutenberg, knowledge was shared differently, like more fluidly. It's exactly through conversation, storytelling, networks. Then we had these five centuries of, you know, fixed text, standardized knowledge, powerful gatekeepers.
Like publishers and editors deciding what gets printed.
Right. And now Jarvis says we're kind of closing that parenthesis. We're returning to our more conversational roots, but with, you know, global digital tools.
Okay, so why does this matter so much right now?
Well, this is why the book feels so relevant. It helps explain why we're struggling so much with all this digital disruption. We keep trying to apply the old print era rules about things being final, about single authorities, top-down control.
We're trying to apply those rules to this new reality, which is all about flow, collaboration, networks.
Precisely. And it just doesn't work. It helps explain why so many of our institutions feel like they're in chaos.
We're basically trying to make the internet, which is like this massive ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
We're trying to force it to behave like a finished newspaper or a book.
Mm-hmm.
Something static.
And understanding this history, this context, it reframes the whole thing. The disruption isn't necessarily a decline. It might be a return, maybe a sometimes messy return, but a return to a more natural way we humans communicate.
Okay, that's a big idea. Let's talk about the author, Jeff Jarvis. What's his background? Why is he the one to make this argument?
Well, his background is kind of perfect for this. He's got credibility because he's really lived and succeeded on both sides of this divide he describes.
So he wasn't just an academic studying print.
No, not at all. He was deep inside the parenthesis, as he calls it. He's a veteran American journalist, a media critic. He was actually the founding editor of Entertainment Weekly.
Wow. Okay. So he knows the print world, the business of it, the logic of that finished, polished product.
He absolutely does. He built things within that system, but then he pivoted. He became a really influential early blogger with his site Buzz Machine.
Ah, so he jumped into the digital stream early on.
Very early. And now he's also a professor focusing on journalism innovation at CUNY. So he brings that practical experience from both worlds together.
So he's not just some old media guy lamenting the past.
No.
Nor is he like a starry-eyed tech utopian who thinks everything digital is perfect.
Exactly. He has that academic rigor to look at the history, but also the practical, almost urgent perspective of someone who was there building the digital future. He sees the connections.
That dual perspective sounds really valuable. He can see the big picture.
It allows him to place things like, you know, the collapse of newspaper advertising or the rise of things like Wikipedia within this much larger historical context of human communication, not just as isolated events or failure.
It's a massive shift in perspective, really. Okay, so let's get into the book itself. What's its main goal? You said it's like media archaeology.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's trying to dig up the foundations of our media landscape to give us a better map for navigating it today. The core argument really circles back to that idea of collaboration.
That conversation is our natural state.
Pretty much. He traces this timeline starting way back with oral cultures. Think knowledge passed down through stories, rituals, shared memory. It was all very communal and fluid.
Right, not written down and fixed.
Then comes the 500-year print parenthesis. Suddenly, technology allows and kind of requires knowledge to be fixed, standardized, owned, and controlled, often by central authorities.
And he argues that print didn't just change how we shared information, it actually changed how we thought.
Yeah, profoundly. It basically created concepts we now take for granted, like the idea of a single authoritative author or individual intellectual property, copyright law.
Huh. Those things feel so fundamental, but you're saying they were kind of side effects of the printing technology itself.
That's a big part of his argument. Print needed standardization. Language got standardized. Ideas got fixed in place. And now, he argues, the digital age is swinging the pendulum back.
Back towards collaboration, conversation, but with global reach.
Exactly. Enhanced by digital tools. So the whole point of the book is really to make us question all those assumptions we inherited from the print era. Assumptions about authority, how we learn, what publishing even means.
Assumptions baked into our schools, our media, everything.
Right. He wants us to rethink our whole mental model of what knowledge actually is.
Okay, let's dig into that timeline. If the print era was about the fixed product, what came before? Section A. Before the parenthesis, oral culture and process.
So before print, knowledge wasn't really seen as a finished product. It was much more of a living process. Think about scribal culture before the printing press.
Monks copying manuscripts.
Exactly. And when they copied texts, they weren't like photocopiers. They rarely made identical copies. They might add notes in the questions, maybe combine bits from different versions they knew, or even correct things they thought were wrong.
So the lines were really blurry between being an author, an editor, a commentator, even a reader.
Totally fluid. Knowledge was kept alive through storytelling, through ritual, through being constantly retold and remixed and adapted by the community. It was created through conversation, not just delivered as a finished thing, that collaborative way. That was the norm for millennia.
Which makes Gutenberg's invention moving inside the parenthesis to the fixed product feel even more radical.
Yeah.
You said the key wasn't just speed, but identical copies.
That's the crucial bit, mass producing identical texts. That ability to fix the text, to freeze it, is what allowed for standardization on a huge scale.
And that's where the idea of the single authoritative author really takes hold, because now you can point to one definitive version.
Exactly. And if you have a definitive version created by one person, suddenly you need ways to protect that as property. Enter copyright law. It's tied directly to the industrial production of print.
Wow. And Jarvis uses Martin Luther as a case study here.
Yeah, it's a powerful example. Luther used the brand new printing press to just churn out copies of his 95 theses.
Went viral, 16th century style.
Basically, he completely bypassed the church's centralized control over information. It showed instantly how print could decentralize knowledge, spread ideas rapidly, and, well, spark massive social upheaval. The power of one person fixing an idea and mass distributing it was world-changing.
So this cements what Jarvis calls the logic of print. Things moving in a straight line, having a definitive end. Authority being centralized with gatekeepers like publishers and editors.
And that classic top-down one-to-many broadcast model. Think newspapers, network TV. Our major institutions were built on this print logic.
Until the internet crashes the party. Which brings us to closing the parenthesis, the network return.
Right. And the internet basically shatters that print mold. It takes us back towards those older collaborative norms, but, you know, supercharged on a global scale. The fixed product gives way definitively to the continuous process.
Okay. But here's where I push back a bit, or where the tension lies. If we're returning to conversation, what about all the problems? The noise, the misinformation, the online mobs? If we ditch the gatekeepers, who guarantees quality or truth?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And Jarvis doesn't shy away from that chaos. He doesn't say it's not real, but he interprets it differently.
How so?
He argues the answer isn't to try and rebuild the old gates because the flood has already happened. The answer is to build better community systems for verifying and building trust systems that are transparent. And his prime example, Wikipedia.
Ah, Wikipedia, the ultimate anti-print creation.
Think about it. It has no single author. It's never finished. Its authority doesn't come from some fancy publisher's logo.
It comes from the process itself, right? The visible edit history, the community debates on the talk pages.
Exactly. Its constant state of flux, its process, is actually its strength, paradoxically. It shows that shift from a passive audience receiving information to an active community making it.
Many-to-many communication, not one-to-many.
Right. And the huge challenge now for everyone from news outlets to universities to businesses is that authority isn't just granted by a title or a legacy brand anymore. It has to be earned constantly through engagement, through transparency within the network.
That requires a completely different mindset. Let's try and boil this down. What are the key themes listeners should really take away from this whole Gutenberg parenthesis idea?
Okay, three big ones stand out for me. First, and maybe most fundamental, is process over product.
Right. We've touched on this.
Jarvis is really emphatic here. In the print world, the value was in the finished thing, the book, the report, the article. Now, he argues, the real value lies in the ongoing process, the relationship, the continuous development. Think about software updates or open source projects.
Yeah, the minute something is finished and published online, it almost starts decaying, doesn't it? It needs updates, interaction.
Exactly. And if you find yourself getting annoyed when a website changes its design or an app gets updated, Jarvis might say you're clinging to that old print era desire for things to just be done. Final. Static.
Okay, what's the second theme?
The collaborative nature of knowledge. Print really helped create and sustain the myth of the lone genius, the single author having a brilliant idea in isolation.
The great man theory of history, but for ideas.
Sort of, yeah. But Jarvis argues, and history shows, that knowledge has almost always been built collaboratively, through conversation, arguments, sharing, building on each other's work. Digital tools are just making that visible again and scaling it up. We learn socially.
That makes you think about how we measure success, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like in school or work, are we rewarding isolated work or the ability to connect and build with others?
The huge question. And the third theme is about institutional evolution. Jarvis isn't saying we tear down all our institutions, universities, media outlets, governments.
Good, because that sounds chaotic.
Yeah. But he is saying they need to fundamentally change their role. They can't just be gatekeepers hoarding information anymore. They need to evolve into being facilitators, conveners of conversation, platform builders. Their job is to help the network make sense of things.
Less about delivering answers, more about helping communities ask the right questions and find answers together.
That's a great way to put it. It's a shift from broadcasting to enabling conversation and connection.
These themes really highlight that it's not just about technology changing. It's about our entire mindset needing to shift.
Completely.
Now, the book apparently has some really memorable lines or ways of phrasing these big ideas. Can you share a few that really capture the essence?
Definitely. One key idea that reframes our sense of ownership is about authorship. He basically says, print made us believe in the myth of the individual author, but knowledge has always been collaborative, built through conversation and community.
That directly challenges centuries of copyright law and how we think about intellectual property.
It really does. It forces a tough conversation. And then there's a crucial one for anyone in business or strategy today. He draws this sharp distinction. In the print age, the core asset was the content. In the digital age, the core asset is the relationship with the community you serve.
Wow. Okay, that's fundamental. So it's not about selling the thing anymore. It's about cultivating the connection.
Precisely. Think about the difference between, say, putting up a paywall for a static digital magazine versus building an active online community around a shared interest or need. One focuses on the product, the other on the relationship and the ongoing process.
And maybe one more. How does he summarize the big historical shift?
He puts it quite directly, something like, the Gutenberg parenthesis is closing, and we are returning to our more natural state of oral collaborative communication, but now at a scale and with tools never before possible.
That sums it up well. It positions the current chaos not as the end of something, but the difficult beginning of a return amplified by tech.
Right. Contextualizes the turbulence.
So let's make this really practical. How can people listening take these ideas and actually apply them? Let's talk real life applications.
Okay, let's start with education. If you buy into Jarvis's framework, it suggests a real need to shift away from purely print era methods.
Meaning less focus on the final exam or the individual term paper.
Yeah, less emphasis on just that standardized, individual, finished product. Instead, educators could focus more on process, on collaboration, using digital tools not just to hand out assignments, but for things like peer review, collaborative writing projects, maybe even students contributing to public knowledge projects online.
So valuing the journey, the edits, the discussion, the visible learning process as much as, or maybe more than, the final destination.
Exactly. Making the learning process more transparent and networked. Then there's the citizen role.
How does this change how we should act as citizens online?
Well, Jarvis forces you to recognize that in the digital age, everyone with an internet connection is essentially a publisher.
Every tweet, every Facebook post, every comment.
It's all participating in shaping the public conversation. And that means the responsibility for things like verification, context, and civil discourse shifts, doesn't it? It can't just rely on the old institutional brands. We all have a role.
So we need to develop new skills, maybe. Like how to evaluate information coming through networks, how to spot manipulation, how to engage constructively.
Absolutely. And it means we need to stop expecting one single newspaper or TV channel to deliver the truth. like some finalized print product. We need to get better at navigating multiple sources, looking for transparency, judging arguments based on evidence, and who's earning trust, not just who has the oldest logo.
And what about in the workplace? For managers or team leaders?
Big implications there, too. If your company's decision-making still looks like memos coming down from the top, that's pure print-era thinking.
The broadcast model.
Right. Jarvis's ideas push towards using collaborative digital tools for actual decision-making, tapping into the collective intelligence of the team in real time, valuing people who are good network thinkers, not just those who follow the hierarchy rigidly.
Okay, reflecting on all this.
Yeah.
My big takeaway, the thing that surprised me most, was realizing how deeply ingrained that print era thinking is. And the idea that being networked, conversational, maybe even a bit messy, that that's our more natural state. It actually makes me feel weirdly more optimistic about the future, despite the current chaos.
That's a great point. It reframes the chaos. Mm. For me, the most powerful lesson is that paradigm shift itself. Seeing the current disruption, not just as technological change, but as society fundamentally reconfiguring itself around connection rather than separation, around flows rather than fixed points.
Yeah.
And it forces us to ask different questions, not how do we save the old newspaper or how do we make online learning exactly like a traditional classroom, but rather what do we as a society need our institutions, our media, our schools, our governments to become in this networked age?
How can they best serve the conversation?
Exactly. How do we design for the process, for the relationship, for the network, not just for the finished product? That's the real challenge and the opportunity moving forward.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by eKatra Foundation.